Welcome to Exhale, a candid conversation about current matters related to respiratory diagnostic and lung health. Today's hosts are Mark Russell, Marketing Communications Manager, and Troy Bridgen, Executive Vice President of Sales and Operations for Vitalgraph in North America, a global leader in respiratory diagnostics. Troy and Mark had a very interesting conversation with Dr. James Veltmeyer, Chief Medical Officer, and Dr. Thomas Eachem, Chief Science Officer with the Veltmeyer Institute for Advanced Biologics. We talked about the Jada cell treatment, which is a regenerative stem cell for treating severe lung fibrosis and lung ailments.
Well, welcome, gentlemen, to our podcast. Please give us a little background on both of you, education and experience, and what's your current responsibilities?
My name is Dr. Thomas Eachem, and my background, as you can tell from my accent, is not from these parts. It's originally my family's of Romanian heritage. And I went to school, I studied independent studies and also science and biology for my bachelor's degree. And I have a master's in microbiology and immunology from the University of Western Ontario, and then a PhD in the area of immunology. So my background is I focus primarily on the areas of developing therapeutics using cells, using cell therapies instead of using small molecules as drugs, which is what 99% of most medicines are, small molecules. In my career, I've been focused on using cells as living drugs, originally cells of the immune system in areas of immunotherapy. And in the last decade or decade and a half, I've been focusing on the use of regenerative cells, whether they be mesenchymal stem cells, hematopoietic stem cells, or very small embryonic-like cells. And so after finishing my graduate degrees, I moved to San Diego and I started a contract research organization called BioRazi. And BioRazi basically would accelerate clinical development. We would go to companies that have exciting technologies, primarily in the area of cell therapy, gene therapy, or biologics, and we would identify faster ways of getting their products into clinical trials, and then find faster ways of recruiting the clinical trials. As you may realize, one of the big bottlenecks in the development of new medicine is that long time to recruit patients for a clinical trial. And I worked with that company, and I joined the company MediStem, where I was CEO, and we found a new type of stem cell called the endometrial regenerative cell. And this cell, we were able to get patents to clinical trials and sell the company to a New York Stock Exchange company called Intrexon. My current roles and responsibilities are, I am on the board of a company called Therapeutic Solutions International, which has the rights to the JD cell for lung and brain, and also I am part of the Veltmeyer Institute.
I'm Dr. James Veltmeyer, and my experience has been mostly in an acute setting. I'm a graduate from the University of California system, and I've been working for a pulmonologist group called San Diego Critical Care Medical Group, where we admit the sickest patients at one of the most busiest hospitals in California, San Diego Critical Care Medical Group. And I served as the chairman of the family medicine department for about 6 years. There's a personal note here. My wife was diagnosed with advanced metastatic breast cancer in 2015. And from that time, I wanted to get involved in finding a cure for my wife and for other people like her. And in addition to, you know, people that have chronic illnesses, because as you know, Western medicine does not provide cure, mainly treatment of symptoms. I was very fortunate to make my acquaintance with Dr. Thomas Eachem back in 2008. And he, as you know, he's been a leader in the next generation of biocellular medical research and its application in practice. I was very excited that I was provided a role as the Chief Medical Officer for Therapeutic Solutions International. And because of my past experiences, this new approach to medicine to speed up diagnosis and provide treatment and possible cure for some of the worst ailments, it has become my new lifelong dream. And I'm very excited that I'm hoping that with this Veltmeyer Institute that we'll be able to provide to all Americans therapy and treatment and cure to COPD and cancer and other debilitating chronic disease that afflict mankind.
Absolutely, guys. We are very, very excited to have you here today. Of course, we don't know nearly as much about stem cells as you gentlemen are aware of. So I guess I'd like to kind of start there, maybe for you, Dr. Eachem, kind of at a very basic level, amateur level, what is a stem cell? What does it do? And also, are there treatments arising from them for lung diseases?
So the stem cell's ability to make different cells is dependent on what the body needs. Now, everybody in the field became really interested and shocked when there were studies that the hematopoietic stem cell can do more than just make blood. There were studies showing that when you put a bone marrow cell into the heart of an injured mouse, a mouse in which you induce a heart attack, the stem cells will start to become heart tissue. There was even the more shocking studies which showed that when a woman would have a male bone marrow transplant, so for leukemia, they do bone marrow transplants where they put healthy bone marrow into somebody who has leukemia. So when you would have a female who receives a male bone marrow transplant, and so the woman had liver failure for unrelated reasons, when they did biopsies of the liver, they actually saw that the liver had male origin cells. So it showed that the bone marrow cells that the woman received in the transplant were actually being able to generate liver cells. And the most striking example of the ability of stem cells to become different tissue comes from studies in which they implant, they have a mouse that's pregnant, and they implant an embryo that's genetically engineered to be green. So all the cells in the embryo that they implanted are green. The baby's born, it's a green baby, but if the mother, if you induce a stroke in the mother a month after the baby's born, the cells that help to heal the injured brain are green. They are baby stem cells that have been transferred from the pregnancy into the mother, that reside in the mother, and then they help to regenerate tissue. This is why in some cases, women who've had more children actually have a better resistance to various chronic degenerative conditions. So the role of the stem cell at a higher level is basically a healing cell or a repair cell. Now, in terms of what stem cells have been able to do therapeutically, there have been multiple studies in lung diseases. Some of the studies have not reached statistical significance. And see, the problem is when we talk about any chronic disease, there's so many different factors, both factors of the disease itself and factors associated with the patient. So one of the bigger studies was the study of bone marrow-derived stem cells in COPD, in which the first study, the first interpretation of the data, did not show a statistically significant improvement in the pulmonary functions. But then when they segregated the patients and they looked at patients that were going into the study with a high degree of inflammation, as measured by an inflammatory marker called C-reactive protein, the patients who had C-reactive protein and COPD were at elevations, they actually had a statistically significant response. So in terms of stem cell therapies that have been approved by the FDA, the main one obviously is bone marrow transplant and treatment of graft-versus-host disease, which is a side effect, ironically enough, of bone marrow transplant. Under emergency use, initially these cells were approved in the U.S., but they're fully approved in Canada and in New Zealand and in Korea and Japan. So there are some stem cell approvals. A lot more are coming. The problem, I believe, in the field why we don't see more stem cell approvals is because there's different stem cells, like we said, are a living drug. And there's all sorts of issues when you put a living drug in a patient. Sometimes the patient does not have the proper constitution in order for the stem cell to exert its effects. Sometimes the stem cells at the clinical trial site, because the living drugs of the doctors are not familiar with how to use stem cells. That's one of the reasons why some of the clinical trials have failed. So it's a very brand new technology. And as with any new technology, there's always a growing pains. But we believe and everybody believes that stem cells are the future of medicine. You know, cell therapy, which is an extension, stem cell therapy is a type of cell therapy. Cell therapy, we have seen an explosion of growth, particularly in the area of cellular immunotherapy, such as the CAR T cells. So we believe it's just a matter of time before we see a bigger implementation of stem cells. And this is why we made the Weltmeier Institute, because of the Weltmeier Institute that gives immediate access to patients who have conditions for which no treatment exists and for using stem cells that have passed the phase 1-2 clinical trial, which are the ones we're going to be talking about today, have.
Stem cells, it's the body's master cells. The stem cells are the body's raw material, or cells from which all other organs, tissues, cells, specialized functions are generated. So in particular, if we're treating a specifically damaged lung, you know, of a COPD, the lung stem cells will repair lung damage by making new cells.
Okay.
And normally we know that the cell turnover in adult lungs is normally low. But if you do have a cellular injury in the lungs, whether from infection, toxic compounds, irradiation, or just fibrosis, we know that best described lung stem cells are what we call the alveolar type 2 cells, which are the progenitor lung stem cells that Dr. Ikam referred to. And those are the precursor of the alveolar type 1 cells that perform gas exchange in the lungs. Okay. So in short, stem cells may benefit people with not only lung disease, but for any chronic illnesses that is mostly associated with inflammation, but it helps by reducing inflammation in the airways, which may help prevent further damage and helps build new healthy lung tissue, which can replace any damaged tissue. And as we're learning more and more, it may replace even fibrotic tissues.
So what are JADA cells and what kind of stem cells it is comprised of?
So JD cells, mesenchymal stem cells, are not hematopoietic. They're not the cells that make blood. Mesenchymal stem cells are the cells that produce growth factors when there's an injury, and they're mostly involved in tissue healing. The JD cells are isolated from the umbilical cord. Now, the umbilical cord has been well known to possess many regenerative cells, but anatomically distinct areas of the umbilical cord from which the JD cells are extracted, these areas are known to be hypoxic, meaning that they have less oxygen, and this is where you usually find potent stem cells. Usually areas of the body that have lower oxygen, because with more oxygen, there's more mutations. So the way that the body is made is that the body always is trying to protect from mutations by having cells that have potential for mutations always reside in areas of lower oxygen, which is usually the stem cells. So the JADA cells were discovered by Dr. Amit Patel, and he found and published that these cells are a unique type of mesenchymal stem cells which possess some of the markers of pluripotency. Pluripotency means ability of the cell to become different tissue. So they were discovered in the umbilical cord, in a specific area of the umbilical cord. They were found to possess a unique gene signature associated with increased ability to multiply, increased ability to produce new blood vessels, and increased ability to immune modulate. So the cells have been used in numerous indications. You know, those clinical trials that have been reported on using the JD cells for lung, for cardiac. They have been studies, obviously, that have been for COVID, which is the basis of our phase 3 ongoing. And those numerous animal models that have been published on the JD cells. So to answer your question in a succinct manner, the JD cell is basically a supercharged mesenchymal stem cell.
Well, that just sounds like a miracle cell indeed. I mean, it's kind of something that we've been looking for a long time is how to unwind the damage, particularly with regards to the lungs. So I'm curious, I noticed that, you know, you guys have mentioned FDA approvals. Obviously, there's been extensive clinical trials. Are most of these still in clinical trials at this point, or are they in use currently with patients in new and innovative therapies?
So the JD cell is in a phase 3 clinical trial right now. We have 2 phase 3 clinical trials for COVID-associated ARDS, and we have 2 clinical trials that we're talking to the FDA that we have clinical trial numbers issued for. One is in chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is a condition that a lot of athletes get when they have multiple concussions. The other one is for COPD. So in terms of the JD cell itself right now, we are able to use it under what's called the right to try law, which is that a patient can be treated with a cell or any experimental therapy as long as the therapy's passed phase 1 safety data and as long as there's a physician willing to administer that in the physician's judgment and may benefit the patient. So that's how we are able to use these cells right now. In terms of the overall picture, there are numerous clinical trials going on with numerous types of stem cells. There's an approval for non-responding patients who have graft-versus-host in the U.S., there's a for mesenchymal stem cells. In Canada and in Australia, there's a full-blown approval, as well as Japan and South Korea. Japan has a law that has allowed fast-tracking, and I believe that there's a cardiac stem cell that has been cleared in Japan. But besides that, in terms of the mainland United States, there have not been, for the major widespread chronic conditions that we know of, there has not been a stem cell clearance yet where it's become a commercial product, a stem cell from the classical point of a stem cell. If you look at cell therapy, well, basically you take out blood cells, you transfect them with genes, and you put them back in the body, if you consider that a regenerative cell, if you will, and you may, because a T cell has a lot of abilities, then you can look at companies such as Gilead and several others who have FDA clearance for what's called CAR T cells. CAR T cells are chimeric antigen receptor cells. And this is basically, they've been extremely successful in leukemias and lymphomas, primarily B-cell malignancies. And what they do is that they take the patient blood, they transfect, which means they put the gene, a strange new protein that's genetically engineered, they put the gene encoding that into all of the T-cells. Then what happens is the T-cells go and they kill the leukemia. And this has been now used, the first FDA approval, I believe, was about 5 years ago. And these types of treatments have been saving many lives of people with leukemia and lymphoma. And as some of the listeners may know, my mother actually passed away from leukemia. It's one of the reasons why I got into science. So it's very exciting to see some of these biological therapies come to fruition and actually start saving lives.
Can you tell us on this stem cell therapy, how it works in theory for COPD and other lung conditions? What is the process? I mean, just basically in layman terms, how do the cells, do they regenerate tissue in the lungs, or how does that work?
So the mesenchymal stem cells are big cells. They're physically big cells. So what happens usually when you inject mesenchymal stem cells and you inject them, they go into the lung because the lung capillaries are extremely small. So they go and they stay in the lung for a short period of time. If there's inflammation in the lung, obviously they stay there for a longer period of time. When the stem cells have the initial interaction with the lung tissue, if there's inflammation, and the inflammation, as you can imagine, there's various different types of inflammation. There's more of a chronic inflammation that can happen with COPD. There's acute inflammation that can happen with ARDS. And those different in-betweens. But what happens is, in the conditions of chronic inflammation, the mesenchymal stem cell sits a little bit in the lung, starts to produce growth factors. Then when it recirculates and comes back into the lung, it starts to produce more growth factors, but it's all dependent on the amount of inflammation. So it's adjustable. So this is the exciting thing about how the mesenchymal stem cells work and why they're particularly attractive for pulmonary diseases is, number one, you get a lot of them in the lung. You know, this is not the case if you're dealing, for example, with kidney disease, where the stem cells, by virtue of their circulation, just not that many go to the kidney. You have to continue giving them. But so in the lung, the cells have an interaction with the lung tissue. And one of the main mechanisms is they secrete anti-inflammatory agents such as interleukin-10, interleukin-1 receptor antagonist. And the important point is that they secrete a wide variety, and it's almost like a symphony of anti-inflammatory mediators. You know, it's not just one, because people always ask, well, if mesenchymal stem cells work with suppression of inflammation, why don't you just give aspirin? Well, that's exactly why, because there's a multitude of pathways that the mesenchymal stem cell can address and knows how to address in a very specific manner. The second way that it works by is, like Dr. Weltmeyer said, in the lung you have the type 2 pulmonary epithelial cells, which are the endogenous progenitors. They're stem cells of the lung itself. In conditions, in lung damaging conditions, these cells are programmed to undergo what's called apoptosis, which is basically cellular suicide. So if you have, for example, long COVID, the chronic COVID, and this has been published, people with long COVID, they have type 2 pulmonary epithelial cells undergoing apoptosis. It's shown that mesenchymal stem cell family, and we've shown that JD cells are more potent at blocking the death of the endogenous stem cells in the lung. So on the one hand, our stem cells stop inflammation. On the other hand, they stop the death of the cells in the lung that have regenerative activity. The other point is that the mesenchymal stem cells actually have what's called mitogenic factors, factors that stimulate, not just protect from death, but actually stimulate the expansion, the in vivo expansion of the stem cells in the lung. So what happens is you're giving these mesenchymal stem cells, but they have effects where they basically start instructing the lung how to heal itself. So at a higher level, this is how the stem cell therapy works in the lung diseases, is it stops the inflammation, it stops the cells from dying, the regenerative cells that are already in the lung, and it actually stimulates multiplication of the regenerative cells so that your body has a higher regenerative activity. Dr. Buffman, do you want to add something to this?
No, I was going to say thank you because you've been very, very thorough. And I think you touched on all the elements.
Yeah, that's very thorough indeed. And it strikes me that both of you have a personal experience, right? That this is obviously motivated by, in the case of you, Dr. Veltmeyer, with your wife, and you, Dr. Ekim, with your mother. Can you give us perhaps an example of a patient story, if you will, on the how much improvement you saw, maybe a particularly good success story?
Sure. Actually, I have a post-COVID lung injury patient that his family were advised that he may have just a couple of days left. He was on a couple of blood pressure pressors and 100% on BiPAP. I managed, the hospital not allowed me to come in and provide the stem cell therapy. So under hospice, I was able to transfer him to an LTAC, one level below, you know, the hospital. And immediately, as soon as I got him transferred, I infused him a full regimen of 200 million stem cells, JD cells, and within 10 days, he was oxygen. And at that time, you know, they had considered to put him on tube feeding and so forth. It's sort of a miracle. He ended up staying at his LTAC for aggressive motor function rehab because he had been in the ICU for about 2 months. But he was discharged within 3 weeks from LTAC. Breathing on his own, and he has resumed a normal, healthy life, just like before he had the COVID infection.
That's amazing. Yeah, that kind of rolls into my next question. Since COVID, we didn't have much of a history on that. It's tremendous that you were able to try this process with a COVID patient. How is that patient doing now? Are they completely fully recovered, or do they have some sort of symptoms of COVID?
Completely recovered. And I have treated at least half a dozen other post-COVID lung injury. And I can tell you all of them, 100% completely recovered. I would like to maybe add one more patient that I had, 47-year-old gentleman that had no prior medical problems. And I had admitted him for shortness of breath, obviously. This is maybe a year and a half ago. And I believe within 3-4 days, I came back to the hospital, and apparently his oxygen level had dropped, or it was trending down. So he was transferred to the ICU. So he was ventilated. And that time, you know, they weren't really doing much for them, right? They were giving him remdesivir and oxygen support. And I believe at that time, they were even offering prednisone. And what happened is that we ended up giving him a pneumothorax, where, you know, you put a hole in the lungs. And then the oxygen support that we were providing was the sort of the culprit to overinflated the lungs. And in short, he ended up passing away. And this gentleman that I'm talking about, he was 77 that we ended up saving his life. And that can kind of really tells you that I believe, certainly believe that the stem cell therapy could easily perhaps save the lives of many of the people that end up coming to the hospital with lung injuries.
I tell you, that's just fantastic. I imagine that a lot of our listeners are really going to, you know, want to know more about all of this. Do you have a little bit more you can tell us about the Veltmeyer Institute and where people can go to find more information on it?
Sure. It's Veltmeyer. I'll spell it to you. V like Victor, E-L-T-M-E-Y-E-R, institute.org.
Well, great. Gentlemen, anything else you would like to add to this podcast and tell our listeners? I mean, this is a really great opportunity to see what the future holds for stem cell therapy, for not only for other diseases, but for the lungs. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I think it's a very, very bright future ahead. And this is, we're very thankful, you know, not just to our investors, but to the investors in the whole segment of regenerative medicine in general, because at the end of the day, it's a very interesting aspect of biotechnology, regenerative medicine, because pretty much in this segment, everybody's helping each other and everybody's work sits on the shoulder of somebody else's work. So I think there's a certain synergy and a coming of age of the stem cell therapy industry, and we're going to be seeing some major advancements in patient care as a result of this. So we are very thankful for the investors, very thankful for the patients who are participating in the clinical trials, and who believe in us, and very thankful for the entrepreneurs who have the guts to go into the sector and blaze forward.
We are very excited at the prospect for the future and for the continued developments and breakthrough that will allow us to make stem cell treatment, very importantly, affordable and accessible therapy for everybody here in America. And I believe that we're going to be able to help a lot of people. And the most important thing is it belongs to everyone. And at this time, stem cell therapy is quite expensive. So the more people that we're able to reach out, we're hoping that we'll be able to bring down the price of the stem cell therapy, and we can reach out to a lot of people that are needing it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, guys. We appreciate you being on our podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Exhale Podcast. Don't forget to follow us for upcoming new episodes and recommend this podcast to friends and family. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again on the Exhale Podcast, brought to you by Vitalograph.